American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Tuesday, November 29th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep for Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for Free Speech Day. Just by listening to this broadcast, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You know, I'm getting old over here. I'm getting old. This would be a free radio broadcast that would be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, OspreyRadio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You don't even have to ask me. Just go ahead and broadcast this. The only thing we ask is that you don't make any money from it, because if anybody should be making money, it should be us here at Rant Media Studios making our, huge money. That we're trying to make here, you know. Anyway, let's get into some feedback straight off the top. Dear Sean, technically, there's already a soldier's Bible, Sun Tzu's Art of War. Now, this was what I was talking about. Now, the term, I don't like using the term Bible very often, because it the minute you refer to something as a soldier's Bible, it gets a little bit freaky. But this was this idea I had, of creating some sort of a book or a movement, religion, thought form, meme, as I'm prone to do, which crosses the barrier of military, religion, and government. A powerfully scary concept, I'm sure, but it's a neat idea. So anyway, he goes on to say here, contains, about Sun Tzu's Art of War, it contains more than quick notes of knowing your enemy. It also deals with disciplining our troops, dealing with terrain, spies, and sovereigns. There's already a group of people following it, Asian businessmen. To them, business is equivalent to war. It's actually taught in Western manuals too. He goes on to state, Master Tzu states that he the commands of the sovereign need not always be obeyed, because they do not know all facts of the battle. He also says that you must pay your spies well for the danger they go through and intelligence they return. These good lessons can be applied to almost any situation that one might find one in. Now, that was sent in by Mainframe, who is absolutely true. The nice thing about wisdom is that it's kind of transcendent. You can see it anywhere and everywhere. Anywhere you come across wisdom. All wisdom is simple. That's one of the nice things about wisdom. All wisdom is simple, and it's very easy to figure out, and to filter out what is wisdom and what is not in that way. Wisdom should be something that's very straightforward and not too many problems, and it's also should be something that's kind of transcendent to different forms as well. If it's just wisdom regarding plants, several things can be, applied in different mediums, so on and so forth. So that's sort of a interesting point. But yes, I was well aware of Sun Tzu's Art of War. Another book which is similar, which they also use for teaching business, for those who don't know, is Miyamoto Musashi's Book of the Five Rings, which is a book about samurai swordsmanship, which is also a very, very neat book. I highly recommend it. It's about sword, how to fuck people up with swords. That's the entire concept of the book, but it is a very good book to have. Hi, Sean. It's probably a bit late to mention this, but now you can defeat Sony's rootkit and other threats of this type of Windows XP and Windows 2000 by logging onto your computer as a non-privileged user, i.e. not administrator for general use. By running the computer as a non-privileged user, you deny yourself and any programs you are running the ability to write certain folders on your hard disks, such as a Windows folder, program files, and system registry. If you want to do any administrator tasks on XP, such as installing new software, you can use fast user switching to log in as administrator without logging out your active account. This means you don't even have to save whatever you're working on. You probably know this stuff already. Oh, yeah, probably, because, that's all I do. But obviously, a whole lot of other people don't. I didn't actually know that. I won't play the, oh, yeah, I knew that. No, there's lots of stuff I don't know. Because of all the various things that I do have going on in my life, I'm not able, that was from Dark Nature, really stay current. So it's nice when all the really savagely rabid wogs with a bunch of free time on their hands are able to send me little tidbits of information like that. It's kind of cool. I enjoy it, and it, lets me know that I am, in fact, loved by one and all. So it's nice. It's nice. And now, once I hear a little piece of information like that, that's a great little trick. You know, in all martial arts, really, when it comes right down to it, any kind of kung fu you practice is really nothing more than a punch is a punch is a punch. So you got to have tricks, techniques, little tweaks that go in and, kind of change what you're doing to adapt to a particular style. That's one thing I noticed about Sistema. I've stopped taking Sistema, by the way. For a while there, I was taking Sistema, but it was an evening thing, and I was all evenings, and I had to make a choice between my family and doing martial arts, and it just, you know, being as I work some evenings, and then I would like to spend the other evenings with my family, so it's kind of difficult, but great stuff. Good shit. You know, as far as hand-to-hand combat goes, nothing wrong with the form, I'll tell you that right now. Very, very interesting stuff. Great for people with an Aikido background, or any kind of soft form background, good stuff. Very, very adaptable for people with a soft form background. Or if you're able to unlearn a lot of the hard form stuff, like if you're going from Muay Thai or something like that, and you want to cross over, yeah, check out Sistema, boys, because it's good shit, boys and girls. Actually, chicks apparently are deadly in Sistema, because it totally follows that greater forces against itself thing. So if you're looking for, if Krav Maga seems a little bit too badass for, you know, and chicks look at that and go, whoa, well, I don't know if I can do that, I'm here to tell you, Sistema, chicks who do Sistema, whoa, danger. Very, very dangerous, because it uses your flexibility and your, return of force to your own advantage. Sistema is very cool shit for women, to be certain. So if you're looking for something to put the girlfriend / wife / partner in, I'm here to tell you, Sistema is a way to go for, because chicks are generally more flexible than guys anyway. You know, it's just sort of one of those annoying traits about, you know, genetics. They also have a higher pain threshold, blah, blah, blah. You know, it goes on and on and on and on. Anyway, let's get into some news. What do you say here? Elliot Adams, in title news, this is an interesting story here. Elliot Adams of Veterans for Peace appeared on the, Elliot Adams of Veterans for Peace appeared on the Alex Jones Show today and passed some positive news in the light of today's attack on the First Amendment, where peaceful protesters were arrested in Crawford, Texas. Meaning, when I say title news, I mean the tide would be turning. Adams said that the protesters would be taken away were being taken away, many police officers gave them the peace sign as a show of solidarity. Now, this is very interesting, because you've got Army veterans, you've got cops feeling bad about taking away the protesters. This is exactly the kind of thing you want to have. Also, when protesters were previously arrested and fingerprinted at Washington, D.C., police made it clear that they support the cause of the protesters. So winning of hearts and minds, that thing I'm always going off and on, is clearly working. This is extremely welcome news, as it tells us that the loyal enforcers of the would-be dictators aren't buying the propaganda and are coming over to our side. Now, this is all from Alex Jones' side, and as we all know, Alex Jones is very passionate. You know, he's a very passionate guy. The elite need the vast majority of the police and military under their control. The elite need the vast majority of police and military under their control. Any dissent in their ranks is disastrous for them. After all, how can there be a war if nobody turns up to fight? Many gave us a peace symbol as they left, stated Adams. I think times are changing, and I see it throughout law enforcement. When we were in D.C., some of the officers who were fingerprinting people from the arrest of the 26th, as they lowered each finger, they said, keep doing it. So I see breaks within the structure, because it's clear what we are seeing is very unconstitutional and not what anybody wants America to believe in. These are not the principles that we fought over in the past. These are not the principles that we've beloved. Even the officials are seeing it. They may be stuck in their jobs, but they cannot support what's happening, which is true. I mean, they are, you know, cops. They're doing their job. This is their job. They've got to kind of follow along with their job. You know, there's not much they can really do there. I mean, they got to feed their families and stuff. So, you know, I mean, you can kind of respect that on one angle, and it's good to see that, in fact, the theory that I've been following for quite some time, stating, you know, winning of hearts and minds and all that good stuff, it's nice to see that is, in fact, happening today. And it is something that we can all continue to facilitate. If that's happening just a little bit now, all we've got to do is fan that flame a little bit, and you'll see more and more that cops will begin to realize just what it is the WOGs are all about. All we got to do is not spit on them. All we got to do is be like, hey, man, you know, yeah, that means you're going to have to turn the other cheek a couple of times. When the cop warms up, he's like, get on the ground. And he throws you on the ground and all that stuff. You're like, it's okay. It's okay. Because the cops are scared. You know, they're going into a room. They don't know what's waiting for them. They're scared. They got their guns out. They got their masks on. And there you are, totally peaceful. You're like, it's okay, man. I'll do whatever you want. It's all good. Nobody wants to hurt you. Nobody's violent here. Everything is cool. And you de-escalate. The art of de-escalation. That's what's something we should be practicing rather than training to go out there and start stabbing people and cutting people up. Do not try to meet this with force. You can kind of get around that to realize that law enforcement is not your enemy. They are not the enemy. These people are, in fact, paid by your taxes to protect you. And they know this. Police are not stupid. Okay, so, you know, there's a way. This is that's a great story to lead off with. Because it shows, in fact, that in Tidal News, the tide is, in fact, turning, and the WOGs are going to be getting the upper hand. Now, I have another story here regarding Fortean News. Now, this is Fortean. Charles Fort was this dude, lived back a while ago, and he used to find all these news stories that didn't happen to go along with science. And these kind of stories, you know, generally people go, oh, I don't believe it. But, you know, it's in the newspaper, and it's being covered, but nobody says, oh, I don't believe it, because it just doesn't make sense to them. So it becomes a sort of this enigma. Now, a lot of them are bullshit. You know, a lot of them are like, you know, man pulls truck with penis and stuff like that. But you've got, like, this story here, which is interesting. In Fortean News, thousands of pilgrims are pouring into the dense jungles of southern Nepal to worship a 15-year-old boy who has been hailed as a new Buddha. Devotees claim that Ram Bomjon, who's silently meditating beneath a tree, has not eaten or drunk anything since he sat down at his chosen spot 6 months ago. So the guy has not moved, has not eaten, and has not drank anything in 6 months, accordingly. Witnesses say they've seen light emanating from the teenager's forehead. Okay, well, whatever. You know, you can see a lot of things when you smoke a lot of shit. It looks a bit like when you shine a torch through your hand, said Ted Badur Lima, a member of a committee responsible for dealing with a growing number of visitors from India and elsewhere in Nepal. Photographs, here's a bit of a telltale here that kind of taints this whole thing. Photographs of Ram Bomjon, available for 5 rupees, 4p, from his makeshift shrine, have become ubiquitous across the region. Far and wide, it is the only topic of conversation, said Oprenda Lamachami, a local journalist. He said, no allegation has yet emerged of Ram breaking his fast or moving even to relieve himself. So he's just been sitting there for 6 months. Booyah! Santa Rad Subji, the chief government official in the Baro district, appealed to the capital, Kathmandu, for assistance in dealing with the influx of visitors for a team of scientists to examine the case. Local doctors failed to reach a final conclusion, although they were allowed no closer than 5 yards from the boy mystic, declaring that they could confirm no more than he was alive. So he is alive. He's been sitting there for 6 months. The popularity of the phenomenon is partly because it resembles an episode in the life of the historical Buddha, who was born 160 miles away around 543 BC. The Buddha achieved enlightenment when he meditated beneath a sacred peepal tree for 49 days. Ram Bomjon is also sitting by a peepal tree in the same posture as the Buddha depicted, but his vigil has already taken longer. Now, there's a couple things that could be happening here, okay? One, the kid, we don't know how long the kid's been sitting underneath the tree. They claim 6 months, but you can't just sit there for 6 months because you can only live so long without food and water, right? Well, this kid apparently has dropped his body into a state of torpor, and he's parked his ass underneath this fucking tree for 6 months, apparently. So he's all in this tree doing the meditation thing. Now, he's being monitored now, so if he moves from that spot, he's going to be noted. And if he stays there for longer than 7 days, there's got to be something to this. Like, how is he doing it? Well, it's a freak of nature. Blah. Oh, we don't really know how he's doing it. Okay, well, then at least you have to look at that and say, okay, we don't know how he's doing it. We don't know. Which is the big scientific, you know, four-letter word. We don't know. That's the big swear word. Nobody likes to admit that there's stuff we don't understand. I'm excited about that. That's great. That gives me hope. Maybe this kid's got, maybe there's something going on here. Maybe it's pure science. Maybe there's a spiritual side to it. I don't know. Maybe, you know, you could put some thermal on this kid. See if he's got actually some light coming out of his head. Throw some IR on him. Let's see what's going on. Because if there's a way that we can figure out from guys like this how to teach people to, you know, enlighten the state of humanity. Dude, what an amazing concept. I mean, that's something we could teach in schools. I mean, this is incredible. This could be really, really neat. At the very least, it's an excellent way for people to be able to survive for long periods of time without food or water, i.e. space program much. I mean, you got to look at it from that angle. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can do with that kind of a skill. So rather than just shove it off to the side and say, oh, that's bullshit. No, we don't know it's bullshit. It's suspected to be bullshit, to be sure. But let's investigate it. Let's nail it down. Let's make sure that we actually cross our T's and dot our I's and make sure that we nail this fucker down. Because when people just dismiss stuff like that, it gets missed and boom, you lose technology that way that you didn't even know you had. Speaking of technology we didn't know we had, in cloning news. Now, this is kind of a weird story coming out of South Korea. A cloning pioneer, regarded as a hero in his South Korean homeland, has resigned and apologized for using human eggs from his own researchers. Now, I don't really understand what the big fucking problem with that is. Professor Hwang Wook-suk was chairman of the World Stem Cell Hub, which opened this month based in Seoul. He said here, I am very sorry that I have to tell the public words that are too shameful and horrible, he announced publicly, clearly English not being his native tongue. International medical standards warn against using eggs from researchers who are vulnerable to pressure. I don't understand what that means. That means that he stole the eggs from the people or what? How are they vulnerable to pressure? Vulnerable to pressure for them to make it work, however. I'm not too sure. However, the health ministry in Seoul insists that he is not guilty of any moral or legal wrongdoing, as the eggs were given voluntarily without the professor's knowledge and before South Korea introduced the bioethics law in January. Well, I don't really understand why that's really a big problem. Like, did he force the people to give up? It was said it was given voluntarily. I don't get it. Like, what's the big deal here? It's just an egg. Dr. Hwang, 52, gained worldwide fame after producing the world's first cloned human embryos and stem cells tailored to be used on individuals. Very hot. Human cloning science offers a possibility that stem cells harvested from a clone embryos could be used to treat diseases like Parkinson's, diabetes, and heart disease. One of the big, like heart disease, boom, big killer. Big killer. You know, and if we can, you know, whatever it takes, man, get the fucking job done. If we can, you know, get a few eggs, whatever, do the research and figure out a way to get rid of heart disease, I'm all about that. I'm all about it. Bring it on. You know, it's, you know, ends justifying the means over here. Maybe that's bad, but here we are. Dr. Hwang's breakthrough was seen as particularly important as the stem cells he created were a perfect match for the patient, which could mean treatments without risk of the body rejecting them. Again, you know, boom, a life is saved, everything is cool, no problems. However, opponents argue that cremating and experimenting with human embryos is unethical. Jesus, I love these guys. You know, oh, it's unethical. No, what you're trying to say there is that it's, you know, bad on religious grounds. You know, who fucking cares, okay? It's not even a developed person who gives a shit. And, you know, for that matter, it could be argued that there's certain developed people that should be experimented on. But I digress. Early this month, Gerald Shatan, a prominent American colleague of Dr. Hwang, broke off their collaboration, saying he was concerned by the way the group was procured human eggs. Apparently, they were buying them. You know, it's like, you know, this moral high ground shit. Like, let's just get over yourself, would you? We got to get this shit done. We've got to figure out how to conquer this whole aging thing because people are dying everywhere. And we've got to figure out a way to, you know, kind of fight these diseases because, again, people are dying. Now, it could be argued, well, Sean, you know, if it wasn't for these people dying, we'd really have a population problem. Right. So, you know, by allowing people to die from diseases, it's the same thing as setting up camps, as far as I'm concerned. You know, oh, well, you know, I didn't pull the trigger, so I just let them die. Well, you know, that's like walking along railroad tracks, and you know a train is coming down railroad tracks, and you could pull this guy off the railroad tracks, but you choose not to, and he doesn't know, so he gets hit by the train. You're guilty, okay? If you could do something to prevent something from happening, and you do not, you are guilty. You have to... You know, that to me, I mean, it's more unethical to not do the stem cell research on the human eggs. I think that would be more unethical than doing the research itself. I mean, I consider what happens if you don't do this research and, you know, how many people lose their loved ones due to the fact that you have this horrible fucking disease. sick and weird. Now, in rising sea news, because I couldn't call it tidal news, because the first story was called tidal news, but in rising sea news, more global warming stories that nobody seems to be talking about. The Carteret, yeah, it looks that way. In Sydney, this is in Australia. The Carteret Islands are almost invisible on the map of the South Pacific, but the horseshoe scattering of atolls is on the front line of climate change as rising sea levels and storm surges eat away their existence. So these islands are going under the water. For 20 years, the 2,000 islanders have fought a losing battle against the ocean, building seawalls and trying to plant mangroves. Each year, the waves surge in, destroying vegetable gardens, washing away homes, and poisoning freshwater supplies. Not cool. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm completely wrong here. It's not in Australia. It's in Papua New Guinea. Papua New Guinea's Carteret Islands are destined to become some of the world's first climate change refugees. The islands are becoming uninhabitable and may disappear below the waves. A decision has been made to move the islanders to the large nearby Bougainville Island. 4 hours boat ride to the southwest. 10 families at a time will be moved over 1 to 2 years once funds are allocated for the resettlement program. It's a pretty hard life out there on the island. Some of the homes have been washed away, Joe Kaipu, senior district coordinator of Bougainville, told Reuters by telephone. The only action now is to resettle them, he said. A United Nations panel of more than 2,000 scientists, 2,000 scientists, has predicted that average sea levels are likely to rise between 9 and 88 centimeters, 3.5 to 35 inches, by 2100, mainly because of the buildup of heat-trapping greenhouse gases in the atmosphere from the burning of fossil fuels such as oil and coal. Sea levels are expected to rise because of the melting ice caps and because the water expands when it warms. The entire Greenland ice sheet melted in coming centuries, for instance. If the entire Greenland ice sheet melted in coming centuries, for instance, the sea levels would rise by 7 meters. Now, this is something we need to be aware of. I mean, we can't really do a lot about it because a lot of people said we've already passed the point of no return. There's no way we can overcome this. So what are we going to do about it? How are we going to, finish the whole concept of, survival here? We got to make sure that if we got some kind of scary water world shit happening, then we got to be ready for it. I don't know about you, but I'm all about survival over here. And, unfortunately, there's been just a little bit too much greed going on and not enough people focusing on, the kind of survival skills bred by things like the space program, bred by, human habitat programs. But I guess, nature is going to come to bear with humanity, and we are going to be forced to learn how to deal with that. So maybe those of us out there with a little bit of know-how can, we can work on ideas about how to sort that shit out. We can sort of look after ourselves before the government kind of clues in and goes, oh yeah, hey, maybe there's a problem here. Because, it's not a problem until the government says it is. Or at least that's what they would have you believe. But, as according to what I'd be a hell of a lot more concerned about global warming than I would be about the whole avian bird flu, I'll tell you that. And here's another thing. In scary appliance news. Now, this is something else. Now, this is kind of one of these patent applications. Now, there's all kinds of patent applications that goes out. People try to patent everything from plot lines to Star Cruisers. Everybody's trying to patent everything. But TiVo Incorporated has filed a patent application to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office earlier this month that suggests the company inventors believe radio frequency identification, RFID technology, will become inserted into clothing, jewelry, keychains, and even under the skin in the body. You betcha. Whether TiVo actually decides to build in the feature, the patent is for a personal video recorder, PVR, that recognizes viewer preferences through an RFID chip embedded in clothing, jewelry, or inserted somewhere in the user's body. So what it does is the video recorder goes, oh, this person likes this, so we will record these shows. So I show you the media based upon what you're cleared to see through your RFID tag. How terrifying is that? The Multimedia Mobile Personalization System. There's a name. Would have a remote control that recognizes the viewer's RFID tag closest to the PVR. The remote control identifies and notifies the multimedia device through the RFID chip in the person's clothing or body to tailor the media content to their preferences. The remote control device would identify the link, the viewer, to the system using an RFID tag that is attached to a keyring, necklace, watch, wallet, or even subdermal tag inserted somewhere in the user's body. The remote control would then detect the RFID tag in limited radius so it wouldn't get confused by signals from others, the patent said. Either broadcast or recorded television programs and music playlists stored on the local hard drives could be sorted, displayed, or restricted, depending on the user's identifier. Other methods of identifying the user are stated too, such as computer vision recognition, so it looks at you and sees who you are, biometrics, fingerprints, and voice analysis. Maybe we should just have a combination of all three. Computer looks at you, checks out your biometric ID, and does a voice analysis, and, you know, if everything syncs up, then you're allowed to watch the A-Team. If you're not, you know, the right kind of person, I guess you can't watch old Warner Brother cartoons because they're too violent. Another nonsensical ideas. Now, going with that concept, we got some tracking news for you here. The Federal Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Now, this is great. You know, there's nothing like plague to whip up panic. But anyway, the Federal Center for Disease Control and Prevention released a phone book thick proposal rule yesterday. Now, I'm always worried when shit gets that thick because you gotta know that they're hiding stuff in there. But anyway, this phone book thick proposal rule yesterday would give the federal government new powers to track the comings and goings of individual travelers and expand the circumstances under which passengers exposed to a series of serious communicable diseases could be isolated or quarantined. Oh, we got to lock you up. You've been exposed. You're a plague victim. And you want to know what's an easy way to get a government official to shoot an innocent? Go, he's infected. If he gets through the lines, he'll kill us all. Without his knowledge, he's carrying germs that are highly toxic. How to breed panic for 1000.com. The proposed changes are the latest in a series of preparatory moves aimed at solidifying federal health officials' legal authority to take actions aimed at slowing the spread of emerging contagious diseases such as pandemic flu, such as bird flu. Yes, we have to quarantine these people because they're infected with the flu, this flu that kills millions of people. No, actually, it's only killed like, what, 150, 160 now? 6 million people die every year from starvation. 1 million die from malaria. But fuck yeah, we're concerned about the bird flu. The new provisions, the cost of which fall mostly on the travel industry, call for greater security of passengers for signs of illness and greater efforts by airlines and others to obtain personal contact information from travelers. Do you see where all this is going? They also broaden the list of symptoms that would make people subject to quarantine. Oh, really? Got a snuffy nose? Well, I guess you're going in the cage. Although the rules strengthened federal authority to isolate passengers suspected of being infected, they also spell out unprecedented detail key legal rights, including appeals process for citizens. The agency will accept public comment for 60 days before issuing a final regulation. As if that's going to do a goddamn thing. Yeah, send us your mail, we'll delete it and do what we want anyway. The officials said they are confident that the vast majority of Americans will support the changes so the government could better protect them from a major outbreak, whether naturally occurring or from a bioterrorism attack. You got to like how they slap terrorism in there. You know, whether this flu breaks out, you have to lock everybody up, or the terrorists could do it. What? We're not talking about quarantining anybody for a sniffle or a cough. Oh, fuck no, said Martin Cetron, director of the CDC's Division of Global Migration and Quarantine, in a conference call with reporters. He added that although travelers would be asked to provide more personal information, including phone numbers and email addresses, why the fuck would you want my email address? The goal is simply to be able to contact people if it becomes apparent they sat near an infected person while traveling. Holy terror! Maybe this is just something to deter people from traveling. You got to limit people's ability to move. So rather than saying, no, you're not allowed to travel, we're just going to make it such a terrifying concept to travel. Well, you might be on a plane. You could have sat on a plane with infected people, and now you're quarantined because you traveled on a plane. So stay at home. Whoa, don't leave home. There are some very rigorous standards of privacy in which this information will be treated, Cetron said. Well, yeah, but the people we don't want to have the information anyway. Many of the proposed changes are the result of lessons learned from the 2003 outbreak of SARS. SARS? or severely acute respiratory system. When federal and international health officials realized how hard it was to track down passengers who had shared flights or other transportation with an individual who had the contagious disease. How many people died from SARS? Does anybody know? I didn't think it was that really big of a deal. Flight manifests are sometimes destroyed within days, they found, and customs documents, being on paper, were not easily transmitted to health authorities and were often illegible. What do you mean? Like they scrawled them or something? How can these papers be illegible? But, you know, I digress. I guess this is all, you know, for the greater good. Now, there's some things I think that are for the greater good. There are some things I go, okay. But this whole disease thing, I'm like, wow, this is a big money grab. This is just, I don't know if I buy into this, man. You know, I think that, yeah, all right, maybe I'm being a little alarmist here. And these people just want to, you know, find out. Because if there is an outbreak of a disease, they want to make sure that, you know, they can track what's going on. But I get a little bit sketchy when they start talking about the right to quarantine people, you know, arbitrarily. Oh, yeah, yeah, you're going to be getting quarantined. These symptoms are a sign for being quarantined because symptoms are just symptoms. They're not for sure, you know. So, you know, you could be on your way to doing something and you get, you know, disappeared because you happen to, you know, have bloodshot eyes maybe. Or you're really tired because you've been doing all-nighters or something. And nothing will get you sick faster than travel. Now, that's a fact. Anybody who's ever gone and done some serious traveling, I know they're not in their head right now because they know. You get worn down. You're skipping through different time zones. The climate's changing. You're changing your diet. The food's all different. You're in close quarters with a whole bunch of different people. Different kind of germs flying around. You get sick. Travel is a foretaste of hell. Long-time statement. So, you know, you look at that and you go, okay. Well, you know, if you're going to be getting sick anyway... And it'd be interesting to see what kind of details they find for list for quarantine. Oh, no, no, no. We're not stopping you because we think you're a questionable person. We're not stopping you because you're going to DEF CON. We're stopping you because you might be diseased. Interesting. Now, Vavrick sent me this story here. In drugged children news, in New York, Reuters Health, the number of U.S. children and teens who were diagnosed with depression more than doubled between 1995 and 2002, while the use of antidepressant drugs rose under the use of psychotherapy and counseling declined. So, the kids, these children, these teenagers, are being fed drugs where the use of psychotherapy and counseling has declined. And you know why that is? Because people just want to have a magic pill that gets rid of their problems of this poor fucking kid who's just, you know, causing me problems. Teenage angst. Okay? We used to, you know, just listen to some Morrissey, and now I guess we get the little blue pill. The findings, say researchers, point to the possible instances of inappropriate prescribing to children. Possible instances, you think? Children are growing. They're developing their brains and minds. There are hormones way out of whack. You should not be introducing drugs into that equation until the child has stabilized. And you see whether or not there is a deficiency, because if there is a deficiency, the body may work to correct it on its own. If you start inserting drugs into a deficiency before the body has a chance to correct it, the body will not correct it, and therefore you create dependency. Anyway, while guidelines call for children to be treated with either mental health counseling or a combination of counseling and medication, the study found a trend of antidepressants replacing talk therapy. In addition, although only one antidepressant, Prozac, has been specifically approved for patients younger than 18, prescriptions for other antidepressants rose after 1995 as well, with children receiving prescriptions for them on an off-label basis. These trends raise concerns regarding the widespread off-label use of antidepressants, lacking reliable evidence for safety and efficacy in the use of children and adolescents. The study authors report in the Journal of Adolescent Health. Now, kids should not be taking these drugs. I'm sorry. Kids should not be taking any drugs whatsoever. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even condone teenagers smoking weed, to be really honest with you. I mean, I don't think anybody should be messing with that stuff until they're very definitely adult. And I mean, you know, maybe post-25. But to be putting kids on antidepressants, I mean, they're growing. They're learning how to deal with life. If you make them, you know, just take a pill to deal with their life, they're going to take pills for the rest of their life. Or maybe that's the point. Maybe that's why they're doing this, so that they can create a customer base for themselves for years to come. It's not clear why antidepressants use increased during the study period. Oh, it could have something to do with marketing, the fact that everybody's working and that both parents don't have time to actually raise their kids. And again, they want the magic bullet. Dr. Jun Ma of the Stanford University School of Medicine, Palo Alto, California, she said that. It's not clear why antidepressants use increased during the study period. Oh, I wonder. But, she told Reuters Health, it likely reflects a combination of factors, including widespread drug advertising, perception that drugs are more effective than therapy, and the fact that taking medication is more convenient than counseling. Exactly what I said. Whether antidepressants will continue to supplant counseling for children and teens is in question. Last year, U.S. health officials directed manufacturers of all antidepressants to place black box label on their products, warning of increased risks of suicidal behavior that has been linked to certain antidepressants. That's really funny. Take this antidepressant and it'll cause suicidal behavior. Or maybe it's the come down. Maybe it picks you up for a while, but the drop off, motherfucker, that will drop you hard. Ma said it will be important to track how this change affects prescribing trends. She noted, however, that the warning labels is not intended to scare doctors and patients away from antidepressants because the drugs can be an important part of treating children with major depression. I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I do know there are people out there with depression. I would even go so far as to say sometimes I get depressed, too. I get depressed often. Jesus. I'm sure Dan Rather could probably write a book on depression. I mean, all you got to do is read the news. There's a lot of stuff out there to get depressed about. Our whole entire society is going through a massive change right now. Technology is pushing us to the limit. Everybody's running at full pace. Every parent's working. Poverty rates are rising. Jesus Christ, this is a scary place. And to top all that off, religion's going straight in the shitter. So all the good stuff we used to believe in about God and, you know, everybody loving us and everything's going to be okay because, you know, there's Jesus and stuff. Well, that's out the window. So now what are we left with? Sweet fuck all. My God, give me the bourbon. That's what's being happening, and that's what does happen. That's why so many cops drink. That's why so many soldiers drink. But we have to steady our resolve. We have to be able to go, okay, you know what? We have to be able to deal with reality here because we deserve the truth. And the truth is not given to us by pills. But anyway, maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe, you know, maybe it's not so bad to have a drugged up population who's like, you know, studies have shown that the more drugs you take, the more likely you are to trust what you see on TV. I mean, the TV's your friend, you know, that's why it's called programming, right? That's what they all say. Maybe I'm crazy. Could happen. Could be the truth. I could be a complete and total psychopath. Never know. You never know. But personally, I would hope that anyone listening to this program, if you're a young man, young woman, whatever, if you're under the age of 25, I would implore you to stay away from drugs of any type. Now, I think that, yeah, there's a use for weed. And I think there's a use for weed as an antidepressant. Don't get me wrong. But please, for the love of God, stay away from these scary-ass designer fucking drugs that they're trying to feed people because it's frightening. We don't know what they do. I mean, yeah, I'm not a doctor. It's true. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. But, man, My spider sense just freaks the fuck out when I see this kind of stuff. Some people say aspartame's okay. Well, aspartame's not okay. It turns your brain into sponge. You know? I don't know. I just think that you should really think about whether or not you want to go on these kind of drugs. Maybe you should get some exercise. You know? Maybe look at some more holistic approaches rather than, you know, going and just taking drugs. Now, in the idea of biodiesel, most biodiesel is created from, you know, creatures. You know, they take birds, chickens, guts, and all that kind of stuff, and they make, you know, biodiesel out of it. They're doing it in England right now. But it seems that somebody's come up with a vegan form of fuel. You know, Sim's going to like this. Sustain blog reports that Japanese scientists have discovered a way to convert vegetable oil into biodiesel with a much less expensive, between 10 and 50 times cheaper catalyst. So it's cheaper, made from vegetables. Gotta like that. Any vegetable oil can become fuel, but not until its fatty acids are converted into a chemical compounds known as esters. Currently, the acids used to convert the fatty acids are prohibitively expensive. Mikilazuhara of the Tokyo Institute of Technology in Yokohama, Japan, and his colleagues have used common, inexpensive sugars from a recyclable solid acid that does the job on the cheap. Their research is reported in last week's issue of the journal Nature. Cheap veggie diesel may change the way we drive. Now, another thing that other people aren't talking about is the fact that they used to be able to make fuel out of weed. You can make anything out of, you know, anything you make out of petroleum, you can make out of actually hemp, out of industrial hemp. You can make plastics, propane, all that stuff. You can make it out of hemp. And it's a weed, so it grows very, very quickly. And I've noticed that there's absolutely no talk about this in the news whatsoever. If maybe I missed it. Maybe, you know, they determine, oh, yeah, they can. But the cost is so high in the process of changing it, Sean, that it's just cost prohibitive. But I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that anywhere. Great book. The Emperor Wears No Clothes. Pick it up. Read it. Get some facts. Find out what's going on with this shit. Because I'm here to tell you, if you can run your car on pot, what the hell? You know, why don't we use that? Because, I mean, it's a weed. It grows very rapidly. You could do a lot of good with this. And apparently now the Chinese have got a way to make some vegan fuel. Maybe that'll decrease our greenhouse gases as well, thereby stopping the entire global warming thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm a dreamer. Maybe I'm a dreamer. The global warming thing, maybe it can't be stopped, and we just have to begin to deal with it. And, you know, if that's the case, then I guess we're all headed for, you know, like that movie, The Day After. And speaking of which, in The Day After news, remember in the film, there's a big cold snap? Well, check it out. A sudden winter freeze gripped parts of northern Europe on Saturday, with heavy snowfalls cutting power, canceling football matches, and spreading air and road traffic chaos. In Paris, the Eiffel Tower was shut for most of Saturday as ice made its staircases treacherous, with heavy snowfalls meant thousands of people in France and Germany faced plummeting temperatures without electricity. We hope power will be restored tonight. Our teams are working on it, a spokeswoman for Electricité de France said. Some 7,000 homes out of 17,000 suffered power failures in France's western Vendor regions overnight and are still without electricity by nightfall on Saturday, she added. Now, I imagine what all these refugees are doing inside their little shantytowns are dealing with this. I can bet there's going to be some people freezing to death because of that. A quarter of a million people were also without electricity in Germany, most popular state of North Rhine-Westphalia, authorities said there on Saturday. So it's like, bam, these guys got hit with a crazy cold snap. Soccer fans in the Belgian city of Liege were disappointed when a keenly awaited clash between Anderlecht and Standard, two giants of the Premier Division, was postponed because of the cold. A German league match between MSV Duisburg and Cologne was also postponed because of heavy snow. Air traffic also suffered from snow and ice. Flights in and out of airports of Paris, Brussels, and the North German city of Dusseldorf, the NRW state capital, were all affected. This is all from this crazy cold that just snapped. Bang! A Dusseldorf airport spokesman said 36 flights had been redirected and 25 were canceled. I've been working for the airport for 11 years, and I cannot remember something like this ever happening before, a spokesman for Torsten Hermann said. Very, very interesting stuff with this weather here. Now, I wonder as well what that weather is going to do for the these people who are caught outside, the refugee guys. Whether or not you agree with the whole refugee thing and blah, 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 all the rioting and all that, you got to know that that's going to fuck with those people pretty hard. Now, also in Fortean news, everybody's heard about cattle mutilations, okay? Cattle mutilations are things where, you know, the farmer goes out to his field, finds this cow all fucked up, you know, cut with lasers and shit in the middle of this field. And a lot of people are skeptical and they claim it's all kinds of different crazy shit, but the bottom line is you have tangible evidence of something. Now, what we got here is we got this cow that's been cut up. Forensically, we don't know how it's done. It looks like it's done with surgical precision. Razor sharp implements used, cored out body parts, laser cuts. Very, very technical shit going on. Sometimes the cows are torched and the body and the grass around the body is like not even bent or burned. Kind of bizarre. The only known modern biochemical process to produce pure hemoglobin from human or animal blood is in the laboratory with chemicals. Okay, so that's the only process known. A centrifuge and a strict temperature control. That's what you need. Yet of all the impossible and improbable anomalies discovered in the score of cattle mutilations around the world each year since the 1950s, pure bovine hemoglobin can now be added to the list. Now, this is bizarre. For those unfamiliar with the phenomenon, ranchers have awakened to find one or more of their cattle dead on their property, not just deceased, but at first glance, brutally mutilated. The ranchers know that the particular animal was alive and well as recently as 12 hours prior to the find. But skeptics unwavering and in a logical conclusion of either a predator or a satanic cult. which, I mean, whether, I mean, this guy's obviously jaded here, so they're saying it's a predator or a satanic cult. Okay, fair ball. Upon closer observation, it is discovered that the animal was not mutilated, as would be true in the case of a predator. It was instead operated upon and specific organs removed with laser-like precision. A similar pattern of hide and tissue are removed from the head, usually an eye, ear, jaw, flesh, and the tongue. The sexual organs are removed, and in almost all cases, the rectum and or vaginal tract within females have been cored out. The excision sites appear to be cauterized around the edges, indicating some type form of heat was employed in the process. Some people would like to say it's lasers, other people are not so sure. To add to the mystery, there is no sign of a struggle, nor are there tire tracks or footprints around the carcass. Not even on the animal itself. Usually, bones are broken at the point where the carcass has impacted the ground, suggesting it had been dropped from some height. As eerily precise as unusual animal deaths are, typically there is absolutely no blood to be found around or near the carcass. Further, the animal itself is completely devoid of blood. Complete exsanguination. Other natural predators, such as coyotes and wolves, refuse to go near the area of the carcass. So natural predators who feed on carrion don't want anything to do with the dead cows. In October of 2000, biophysicist W.C. Levengood of the Pinelandia Biophysical Laboratory in Grass Lake, Michigan, called Linda Moulton Howe, who is well-known amongst the coast-to-coast crowd, she's a paranormal researcher, to discuss his amazing findings concerning a bovine excision case which had occurred in 1997 in Red Bluff, California. W.C. Levengood is a world-renowned biophysicist and has worked exclusively in the field of subtle or implicate or implicit energies. He's well-known for his work in crop formations and bovine excisions. So this guy is kind of a UFO kind of guy. His method for determining the authenticity of crop formations has become the standard for serologists worldwide. This is crop circle guys are known as serologists now. Miss Howe is an Emmy Award-winning TV and documentary producer, investigative reporter, and reporter and editor to the science and environmental news website, earthfiles.com. The full report may be found at Miss Howe's website, earthfiles.com, from the Monday, October 16th, 2000 program part two. Anyway, a 2,000-pound black Angus bull had been discovered at the ranch of Gene and Bill Barton that displayed the signs of classic bovine excision. The bull was found on the hillside pasture about 1/2 mile from the only dirt road that led to the area that could be reached by foot or on horseback. Beside the typical earmarks of genuinely anomalous excision site, a small black hardened specks were discovered on the chest and the testicles at the point of the excision. Samples of these were gathered by field investigators and John Bildew and Royce Myers and delivered to Levengood for analysis. To Levengood's amazement, he found them to be pure hemoglobin. To confirm his findings, he sent the samples to analytical chemists Phyllis Bulger of Ohio. Mrs. Bulger used the latest state-of-the-art infrared spectral photomonitor to analyze the samples. Her findings confirmed Levengood's suspicions that these were indeed samples of raw bovine hemoglobin. Now, this kind of stuff here, when you look at that, it kind of makes me go, what the hell? Like, how does that work, you know? How is it possible that we're getting these cattle mutilations? You know, it's something that bears the attention, something that, you know, nobody seems to be talking about because we can't come up with an accurate explanation for it, but clearly it's happening. So, you know, maybe purchasing a rifle isn't such a bad idea. Just a thought. Today's daily hack is the Metasploit Project. The Metasploit Project is an open source framework that allows you to easily test your network for common security vulnerabilities. You simply choose an exploit from a library, specify a target and payload, and run it. If the target machine is vulnerable, the payload will be executed. A good example is a test for buffer overflow that exists on the MSRPC and can be used to return command shell to the test computer. Now, I wonder if that'll actually run on my new little Windows CE computer I got, like if I could do that all loaded up with my handheld. That'd be hot. Metasploit comes with a nice web interface which lets you get a taste of its abilities, but really comes in its own when you use the command line. The lists of tests you can perform with this tool currently stands at 105 exploits and 74 payloads, but updates are pretty frequent and, most importantly, free. Any of the wogs out there who are messing around with computer network in their homes or anyone in the always-on broadband connection should definitely look at this. I used it to penetrate and test my home network and nearly shat myself when I found out what I could do. And that was sent in by Dark Nature. Thank you very much, Dark Nature. And that is all I have for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This has been a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 65 people, 11 one-time donators, 52 continuing subscribers, and 2 new subscribers. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Because after all, even as in the new year, we're going down to 1 broadcast a week, but donations are appreciated. Upcoming events, not too much for you. And thanks again in assistance to everyone in gathering data. Let me try that again. Thanks again for everyone in their assistance gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album, The Best of Creedence Clearwater Revival. That's kind of cool. I'm going to leave you now with Disturbed's cover of Land of Confusion, an old Genesis song. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.